This is a story tape interview by Sergeant Dave Cummings with a couple of PSYOPs people at Cam Low near Dong Ha within the 3rd Division, 3rd Marine Division 2AR. They are U.S. Army personnel. The first interview is with Sergeant Carl E. Bauer. That's Carl E. B-A-U-E-R Bauer of 16779 Telegraph Road, 16779 Telegraph, T-E-L-E-G-R-A-P-H Road, Holly, H-O-L-L-E-Y. That's Holly, New York, H-O-L-L-E-Y, New York. And the second interview will give you the info on that after this first one. Interview by Sergeant Dave Cummings with Sergeant Carl Bauer of Army PSYOPs working at Cam Low Village, refugee village here in South Vietnam.
Carl, could you tell a little bit about the mission or job of PSYOPs in Vietnam?
Well, our mission in psychological operations is to... Well, our mission in psychological operations actually is to try to win the faith of the people in the government. We inform the people of what the South Vietnamese government is trying to do to help them, such as they supply food, refugee villages like this. Whenever the Viet Cong are in a ville or in an area and the people aren't safe, the civilians are moved out and given shelters, food, sometimes a some land, a way to make a living. And this, like the ville we're in today, this has been set up for a little over a year now, and many of the refugees are have come down from the Quezon area, where there's been a battle going on for quite a while now. And they seem to be quite happy. We have a lot of brew here, mountain yards, and it's kind of hard for them to adjust to this way of life. They're somewhat like nomads. They wander around a lot, never did get along too good with the South Vietnamese government, but they seem to like it here in the ville. And we come, well, another thing that we do is we come down on med caps. The government supplies them with a medical aid and takes care of wounded or just sick, anything that's wrong with them.
Don't you also, aren't you the main people behind what's called the Chu Hoi program over here, Carl?
Hey, Dave. Chu Hoi actually stands for Open Arms. And we have the ground broadcast teams like these. We set up in areas where there's known to be VC or NVA, and we have a 3,000 meters broadcast range. And we also have leaflet drops telling them how to Chu Hoi and when they should Chu Hoi. And we have aerial broadcasts, and actually a Chu Hoi program is very good. Anyone that does Chu Hoi, we hold to our promises and give them a chance to start a new life in South Vietnam, either in the Army or as a civilian. And many of them choose to stay in the Army, and they become these Kid Carson Scouts, which the Marines work with a lot and have very high standards. Great, great military men.
How effective has the Chu Hoi program been? Do you know about the numbers in general or something?
No, I have no idea. But down south, it seems to work a lot better on the VC rather than the NVA up here, because VC really aren't that hardcore, and they're easily swayed than the NVA. The NVA have been trained, and it's a lot harder to get someone that has come down to a different part of the country to Chu Hoi and take up a new life here when their family is back in the north. Down south, it seems to work a lot better.
What sort of reception do you usually get when you're out here in a ville like this broadcasting? I noticed that a lot of the people here have been listening to your tape, and a lot of them just seem to ignore it as you're playing it. What's the normal reception when you're broadcasting?
Well, it varies, Dave. Sometimes you'll find the people come out and they greet you. They're very happy to see you, and they'll invite you in sometimes for dinner or in for to have a cup of tea with them or anything like this. Sometimes they'll completely ignore you, depending on how much they've been psyopsed and how well you act toward them. If you act like you really want to help them, like you're really their friend, they'll listen to you. They'll listen to what you have to say, and they'll treat you as a friend. Whereas if you don't act nice to the kids especially, they'll ignore you and just disregard everything you're saying. They will just consider it's your job and you don't really have any feeling in it, so it's not doing any good. You have to have feeling for the people when you work in PSYOPs.
To get back to the Chiu Hoy program a little bit, I've heard that they try to use some of the Chiu Hoys whom they've gotten to make tapes for you and get that you use these. Have you done this?
Well, down in our main battalion in Da Nang, they have armed propaganda teams, and there's a Chiu Hoy on each of these armed propaganda teams. And they use them to make most of the tapes, and they're used in the field a lot. And the armed propaganda teams, there's two Americans, two Arvins, and a interpreter, which is a lot of times a Chiu Hoy. And they seem to work out real well because they know the hardships of the VC-NVA, and they have a lot of feeling in what they're doing. They enjoy working with PSYOPs, trying to win their friends in the NVA or VC ranks over to our side.
Thank you very much, Army Sergeant Carl Bauer of Holly, New York. This is Marine Sergeant Dave Cumming in Cam Lo, South Vietnam. The following interview is with Spec 4, Pete Dierauf, D-I-E-R-A-U-F, of 1547 Cole, C-O-L-E, Park in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. This is Marine Sergeant Dave Cumming in Cam Lo, South Vietnam. Speaking right now with Army Spec 4 Pete Dierauf of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Pete is the junior member on this PSYOPs team that's been broadcasting here in the Ville today. Pete, could you tell a little bit about PSYOPs, its mission, and major programs over here, please?
Right, Dave. The theory behind psychological operations is that a military victory in South Vietnam won't be enough. We feel that any military victory has to be accompanied by a psychological victory where we win the trust of the people of South Vietnam. And in order to do this, the South Vietnamese government has the Chiu Hoy program in which former VC NVA soldiers can return to the government of South Vietnam and be provided with land, with food, and with money in order to enable them to begin a new life in South Vietnam. Our job actually is in support of the South Vietnamese government. We broadcast using ground loudspeakers to the South Vietnamese people, to the VC, and to the NVA, telling them about the Chiu Hoy program, telling them about the Allied efforts, and in general, trying to win their support, trying to make them see that this is their war, and that this country of theirs is an up-and-coming country, and that by supporting it, they can win the war and return to the life that they knew before the war began.
Where do you get most of the material that you use in your broadcast, Pete? I know they're in Vietnamese, and what sort of material do you use? I know what your intent is in the messages you're doing, but what do you say in most of these tapes?
Well, up north here, we're primarily concerned with the Chiu Hoy program. We don't do too much work. Today, of course, we've been broadcasting to the civilians, asking them to support the government of South Vietnam. But our primary job up here is letting the soldiers of the NVA know that the Chiu Hoy program exists, telling them how they can Chiu Hoy, when is the best time to Chiu Hoy is, and what they can expect from the Chiu Hoy program. Our tapes are prepared in Da Nang at our battalion headquarters by a propaganda development team. They get the intelligence reports in from this area, prepare the tapes, have them translated, and then pre-test them in Da Nang before they release them to us for use.
How effective has your Chiu Hoi program been up here and in general throughout Vietnam, Pete?
I'd like to say again that this program is not ours. It is the South Vietnamese government's, and it's been very effective. I believe the figure for last year in all of South Vietnam was 27,000 Hoi Chans, or returnees. Now, I've heard recently that at the current kill ratio, that it would have cost 5,000 American lives to have brought in this many prisoners or to have killed 27,000 Viet Cong. So we believe that the Hoi Chan, the Chiu Hoi program is very much worthwhile indeed. And the South Vietnamese government also is very pleased with our work with the program and with the results that we've gotten.
Is the program more effective on the VC rather than on the NVA? The VC at least are in their own home area, aren't they?
That's right. You'll have to realize that the Viet Cong, many of the Viet Cong, have been conscripted into service. And, of course, for this reason, that they're more likely to pay attention to the Chiu Hoi program. And many of them, we find that at the very first chance they get, do return to the government of South Vietnam. The NVA, on the other hand, are, in this area, are fairly hardcore. And they're well supplied. They have just about all the medical attention that they need, and they're not as likely as the Viet Cong to return to the government of South Vietnam.
What sort of reception do you normally get out in the Vils when you're broadcasting like this, Pete? I noticed today some of the people seem to be stopping and listening to what you're broadcasting right here in the marketplace, and others just went about their merry own business and didn't seem to pay any attention.
It all has to do with a word that's been bounced around quite a bit lately. It's credibility. We tell the people the truth 100% of the time. Psychological operations in Vietnam never involves either the gray propaganda or the black propaganda. That's propaganda with an unknown source or propaganda with a false source. But many times you'll find that local leaders, local Vietnamese army leaders or local American forces leaders aren't fully acquainted with the PSYOPS program. And sometimes it's very hard to get psychological operations and local leadership to work together so that when a case arises where we tell them one thing and the government turns around and does another, you build a little bit of a credibility gap. And sometimes it is hard to get the people to believe what you're saying. This is why we try to implement our broadcast programs with food dispersal, with medical aid, and this type of thing. We're trying to win the people's hearts and minds, and we're having a great deal of success, a larger amount of success than we were in the beginning. I'd say the program is going along well and should continue to go along well.
Thank you very much, Army Spec 4 Pete Doroff of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. This is Marine Sergeant Dave Cumming in Cam Lo, South Vietnam.
This interview is with Captain Ray Carl, C-A-R-Y-L, of 414 South Francis Street in Port Angeles, Washington, P-O-R-T-A-N-G-E-L-E-S, Washington. Next to Ken is Mrs. G.E. Crawford from that same address. This is Captain Carl, by the way, is USA Army, and he's a pilot for an aero observation craft, and we're at the scene of his craft now. He has just crash-landed here at Dong Ha after flying an AO mission with another officer, I assume, sir, right?
Yes.
With another officer just north of Dong Ha. Captain Carl, can you tell us about that mission and what eventually led to the crash of your plane here?
Right. We launched out of Dong Ha here and checked in with the people that control all the missions in the area, and they requested that we go over slightly northeast of Dong Ha to check for some NVA they had in the open. So we proceeded over there and circled the area. And as we were VRing, there was a couple of Army helicopters in the area, probably doing the same thing. We made a couple circles over the village where the suspected NVA activity was at, and I can't really say how long we were there, probably just a couple minutes. And all of a sudden I heard and felt, I heard an explosion. It seemed to be an explosion, and felt a large jolt in the aircraft. And first thing I did was check the instruments out, and everything seemed to be all right, and the airplane was still flying. There was another cat killer in the area, so I called him on the radio and I told him that I thought that I'd been hit, and to stick around for a couple minutes. And then I started visually looking at the aircraft and checked the controls. The controls all worked fine. And in my visual check of the aircraft, I noticed the left main landing gear and the landing gear strut was completely missing from the aircraft. I called my fellow cat killer up there, told him the situation, told him I'd have to take it back to Dong Ha and crash land it. In the meantime, they had determined that the NVA down on the ground in the Ville had shot either a recoilless rifle round or a B-40 rocket round at one of the helicopters that was in the area. It seems that he blew up in the air, and the general contention is right now that he slung one of his rotor blades and it lopped off one of my landing gear. So I brought it back to Dong Ha, called the tower and told him I was going to have an emergency landing, and requested that I wouldn't have to land it on the runway because there was a danger of fire from sparks, and I have full fuel tanks in the aircraft. So he told me there was a dirt area just on the north side of the field, so I made a low pass and checked it out, called the tower again, told him I would put the aircraft down there, circled around, told my observer to lock up his shoulder straps and tuck up in a real tight ball, and brought the aircraft in and crash landed it right here in the dirt. That's about the story.
Sir, this landing itself is quite an amazing feat. I don't suppose, what is it, about 60, 80, 90 feet or so that you've traveled from the time you touched down?
Probably about 50 feet. That's the most it slid. And as soon as the aircraft stopped, I hollered to my AO to get out, and we jumped out of the airplane, and the dust hadn't even settled. The crash crew was here right on time, and they put this foam down so there wouldn't be any fire, and we're both okay. That's all I'm really concerned about.
Sir, I can imagine, and you probably not wanting to blow your own horn may disagree, but there's undoubtedly an awful lot of skill involved in doing something like this. What happened to you from the time you actually touched till you got to this point right here, do you know?
Well, I just brought it in as I would for a normal landing. A bird dog has a tendency to get away from you anyway. I suppose you might almost say it's easier to land with two wheels instead of three. I just brought it in, and there was a jolt, and it slid, and it nosed up, and then settled back down, and we just jumped out. That's all that happened.
What do you think about all this now, sir?
Well, I'll have to go to the flight surgeon and get checked out, but I've got a lot more missions to fly, so I better get back up in the air, I guess, as soon as I can.
Thank you very much, Captain Carl.